Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
14 years in the show, three of which were played here for the Yankees, part of the Yes Broadcast team as well. And a guy that I used to lean on a lot in a different life, at a different station. And here we are again. That's Flash, John Flaherty. John, it has been a long time, man. First of all, how are you doing? And welcome back to a conversation. What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, it's been a long time, Brandon. And it's good to talk to you. I know I sent you a tweet when you got back to New York where you belong. So you had to go national for a while and go do that. And I appreciated that. But good to have you back home, and it's great to talk to you today.
That's awesome, man. The door's always open, and hopefully, listen, I know you're juggling quite a bit, but hopefully this won't be the last time. I want you to get to know Tiki a little bit. But let's start with this here. So, John, you know this, certainly in baseball, too, where there's so many ups and downs. You're never as good, whether it's from a player point of view or a team point of view, as you look on your best day, and you're never as bad as you look on your worst day. So the reality is the Yankees are probably somewhere in between this recent slide, last night aside, and how great they started the season. But there are a lot of issues, and I hate to start with a negative, but I want to ask you, John, from your view from behind the dish or from the broadcast booth, what is the biggest problem with the Yankees in your eyes so far?
Well, you know, I think you nailed it the way you just started that question off. You know, when you're rolling, you think you can't lose a game and everything is perfect. In reality, when you're reading between the lines a little bit, you see some of the issues. You know, we thought maybe the rotation coming down the stretch, there'd be a little bit of fatigue. We've seen some injuries, so that's an issue. You know, I'm a huge bullpen guy, and when you have Chapman go down and then Clay Holmes steps in and he looks amazing, you're like, okay, we filled that hole, and now he's hurt, and he's gone through his own struggles. So there are a lot of things. But, you know, I think the main thing for me when you look at this team, when they started this little stretch where they weren't playing good baseball, you know, it was some base running mistakes. It was some fielding mistakes. It's some things that when you look at maybe the sense of urgency where they thought they had it all figured out. Now this is a little bit of a wake-up call, and you throw the injuries on top of all of that. How do you come out of it? And you know, we all know that championship teams obviously are built during the season, but they're usually the hottest teams coming down the stretch. So when I look at this club, they got 6 weeks. They got to figure out a rotation. They got to figure out a bullpen, and they got to get healthy, especially getting Stanton back in the lineup. So the pieces are here. You got to kind of fix and tweak some of them so that when you come down the stretch, you're playing your best baseball like they were early on.
The only thing that I would say, and I hear you on all that stuff, they got to fix a lot of things, but I don't know that all the pieces are here, John, and that's what worries me. And I'm not one of these people who's championship or bust, even though that you know has been, for the most part, the edict of the New York Yankees, which is great. Their own success establishes the expectation internally and for us. But I'm not so sure they've got all the pieces. Like, one of the things that comes up a lot on the show, because we obviously talk Yankees and Mets, is that the Mets have all this energy, the way they run the bags, and you reference, you know, the circus on the bases in Seattle the other night, three ghost runners, which was ridiculous, a race. But it seems like the Mets have the things that can get them out of a slump, even if you're not hitting. And I don't feel as if the Yankees have that. Is that an unfair assertion?
No, it's not. And I just mentioned when you go through a little bit of a stretch, a negative stretch like the Yankees have gone through, you need to see as a club some sort of an answer or a response. And to your point, Brandon, it's usually a sense of urgency. It's, you know, busting it, running the bases. Aggressive base running always picks up a team. Making the routine play in the field will usually pick a ball club up. So, you know, I've been on plenty of teams where you're rolling and you think you can't do anything wrong, and then all of a sudden you find yourself a little losing streak, and
yep.
you got to kick it back into gear again. And you know, I mentioned that I think the Yankees have the pieces here because I look at some of the bullpen arms. You know, Marinaccio is back. I've always been a big believer in Clark Schmidt, who's in the minor leagues, so I think is going to have an impact somewhere on this team. And you got Severino, who could come back at some point. So with all of that being said, the sense of urgency that maybe you see across town is a team that, you know, is fighting for a playoff spot and fighting for some respect in the city. And the way the Yankees started, they were getting all the attention. Now
yes.
It's gone the other way. And you're right. You have to see it as a club. How do you respond? Is last game the game where you walk in the clubhouse today and as a player you're like, all right, boys, we're back. We won a great comeback last night. Now we have that energy. You have to build on it. You got to go out there and do it again tonight.
So we're talking to John Flaherty, former Yankee, 14 years in the show, and, of course, part of the Yes broadcast team. You know, you saw vintage A-Rod. We all saw vintage A-Rod. We also know A-Rod, you know, had demons with the PEDs, et cetera. The way Judge has looked for 99% of this season, how can anybody say that even at A-Rod's apex here, that Alex was better than Judge? I don't see that. I mean, that's the kind of year Judge is having.
Yeah, I would answer that, you know, very, very simply, is that Aaron Judge has not had the dips and the ups and downs during his season that A-Rod would have. And did have, you know, when I played with Alex for a couple of years in New York, I mean, he would go on a 2-week tear that there was nobody better in the game. And then all of a sudden it would turn the other way where he would really have his struggles. And, you know, watching Aaron Judge day in and day out this year, I think the greatest compliment I can give him, Brandon, is as an ex-catcher, when I'm looking at trying on how to get hitters out every night, where their weaknesses are, I don't see any with Aaron Judge. He's so far off the plate that you can't pitch him inside. If you do, it's going to be off the plate for a ball, which he doesn't swing at. The only thing you can try to do is get him sped up and get him swinging that slider down and away. He's been so disciplined all year long. So it's just been amazing to watch. And, you know, all year long I've been thinking that they're not going to pitch to this guy anymore. They're not going to pitch to him anymore. We're starting to see a little bit of that now. So the Rizzos of the world and the Giancarlo Stantons,
yes,
when they come back,
yes,
are going to be so huge for Aaron Judge, because if they swing the bat, opposing teams are going to have to challenge Aaron a little bit more down the stretch. And the year that he's had, he's going to make them pay.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, I mentioned the Alex stuff with Judge. Actually, so now I have you, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of the captain, if not all of it. And you're the perfect guy to ask because you're in the clubhouse with them. Even though if you don't have the perfect answer, what is your thought? Because I always wondered, you know, why does Alex, or why did he / does care so much about what people think about him? And even the other night with Kay on the K-Rod cast, like, it seems almost, I know he's not a bad guy at all, but it seems like he's so desperate for Jeter to accept him. Like, why does he care so much about what people think, John?
Well, first of all, I'm going to say I didn't see the K-Rod thing the other night, so I can't talk to that. But I can talk to, you know, the couple of years that I was there when Alex and Derek were together. And, you know, you nailed it. Alex would walk in the clubhouse, and he was concerned on what all the 24 other guys were thinking about him every day.
I mean,
and it was one of those things, yeah, that I, you know, professional baseball players, big leaguers, listen, we walk in the clubhouse and we know what our job is to do every day and how to get prepared. And not saying that I wasn't paying attention to everybody else, but I knew what I had to do as a backup catcher to be ready to go. But Alex was very concerned about what other people thought about him, what other people said about him, and Derek didn't care about any of that stuff. So they're definitely, and you saw it from the documentary, there was some tension there early on, especially. I think it looks like they're probably past all of that, and winning a World Series together cures a lot of that. But it was an interesting time, to say the least, when Alex came in, and there was definite tension in that clubhouse every day.
Yeah, I mean, listen, nobody, and Derek is the man, and the man is a player, the way he comports himself, he's consistent, he's never been in an ounce of trouble. I mean, Derek is as perfect as you could get, even though nobody's perfect. But the only thing, and I think it's really amplified, and we're talking to John Flaherty, former Yankee, and of course part of the Yes Broadcast crew. It's been amplified for me, John, seeing this side of Jeter. Like, I'm like, man, this guy's loose, this guy's cool, this guy's funny, this guy throws a couple of curses. He's basically a human being outside of, like, almost like a robot that we saw for 20 years. Was he the Jeter you see on film now with the captain? Did you get that a lot in the clubhouse, or did you not even get that?
No, I think that the documentary reflected his personality and the way he went about his business perfectly. Derek was very honest. Listen, Derek would joke around. Derek would have a good time, but there was always a line that you didn't cross with Derek. You know, and he was very honest in the documentary. He had his group that he trusted. You know, that was Bernie and Jorge and Tino and guys like that. So you kind of understood what the groundwork was and where you stood. And listen, I had a great time with Derek for 3 years. He's treated me fantastic on and off the field. And I consider us, you know, friendly, but I think Derek was very honest in that documentary. He didn't let too many people in.
Yeah, no, he really didn't.
And if you knew, you kind of knew where you stood, Brandon, and that was fine. Listen, we're going out to win baseball games every night. Let's do the best we can. And nobody was more prepared than Derek Jeter.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, an absolute warrior. So, John, one thing, and I said this about a week or so. I said it to Tiki. And I see, you know, Tiki, Yankee fan my whole life. You know that. I said, the thing, I feel like it's changed, and maybe it's temporary, but one thing that's bothered me about this team, and even last year a little bit, is that I feel it's less of a meritocracy than it's ever been. And, you know, for those who don't necessarily know what I mean by that, like, I know you do, but, you know, Gallo, all right, I'm not bagging on him, but he was substandard, and they kept running him out there. Hicks, he's a mess, and they keep running him out there up until last night. Pitchers with options. Marinaccio finally got called back up. He's better than Abreu. It would cost him a game. I feel like the old Yang, and not just George, but because that's a long time ago. The old Yankees, you earned your playing time. And I feel like that's not always the case anymore. Why?
Well, I'm just going to talk about this year specifically. When you run out and you get a huge lead, and I'm not saying that every game isn't important because obviously they are, but when you get a huge lead like that, it gives an organization some time and some patience to, you know, run some guys out there so that eventually you're going to see if they can figure it out. Joey Gallo falls into that. Aaron Hicks falls into that. I mean, and if you were coming down a stretch here the last 6 weeks and it's maybe a couple of games, you know, one way or another, I think the organization looks at things a whole lot differently than they do this year when you have that big of a lead. So Yankees are in great shape. They've had some patience. They've been able to run some guys out there and see what's going to happen. But you're starting to see it now, right? A couple of kids get called up yesterday. That's going to get the attention of the veteran players in that room. Obviously, an Aaron Hicks, a Josh Donaldson last night, not playing third, but gets that walk-off grand slam. You're, as a veteran player, are now put on notice. Like, okay, we're going to give these guys a little bit of a chance. So there's a little heightened sense of purpose, I think.
Well, good. Listen, yeah. John, by the way, I don't think this will necessarily replicate 2005 when Cano and Chin-Ming Wong came up. I believe that was in Tampa when Robbie was called up, when Womack went down. But I'd like to see, and listen, I think with all due respect, I think Florial at the end of the day is probably a 4A player. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. But you got to run him out there for a week straight. You know, you got to let him get 3-4 ABs a night. And you know, if he takes a few collars and eventually gets sent down or whatever, but to play him one game and then sit him two and then pinch run or pinch, it's a disservice to everybody. Do you think they'll run him out there for a couple of games in a row and really give him a chance?
I think you have to, and especially, you know, a guy like Cabrera, who's as hot as he was in the minor leagues. And listen, I was there in 05, BT, when you know, Chin-Ming Wong came up and Robbie came up. And it was hot. It was energy. It you know, revitalized our ball club. And, you know, it definitely can go that way, but you got to run these kids out there every day. And I always felt as a young player, when you get called up to the big leagues and you get that opportunity, you want to be locked in mechanically. And I looked at the numbers for Cabrera. It's unbelievable how hot he had been. So you wonder if he maybe can get going here. And Florial, it's at the point now where we've seen him for a couple of years. And you're right. He's got to get some playing time, see what he can do one way or another, and see, you know, if he can handle big league pitching. Because you know this, every young player that comes up there, they want to prove it to the organization that they could play in the big leagues, but they need to prove it to themselves first. And the only way you do that is to go out there and sink or swim. You know, you either get hot and gain some confidence and you believe you're a big league player, or it goes the other way and you miss an opportunity. So looks like these two kids are going to get a shot here for at least a little bit.
That's nice. And, you know, I didn't really do much in terms of production yet, but Cabrera, at least from body language, man, he looked awfully comfortable. He's loose. That's a good sign, I hope.
Oh, my gosh. I was right there with you. I thought about my first day in there, or my first game in the big leagues. I was so nervous I couldn't throw the ball back to the pitcher. I mean, we got this kid with some swag out there, with some attitude and some confidence, and you know, you love to see it. You just need to back it up with a couple of hits and kind of roll with it. So there is some energy there that the Yankees can pull from. We'll see how he does.
He's got a few more quick ones. That's John Flaherty, former Yank, and, of course, part of the Yes broadcast team on the Fantiki and Tierney. You know, listen, I know the days when we were growing up, we're about the same age. Earl Weaver, Billy Martin, like, those days are over. Managers aren't flipping over spreads. And yeah, I get it. You can't even really argue because there's replay. And it's a totally different world. But I would like to see, and I think Yankee fans are with me, a little more emotion from Aaron Boone, and not just when there's a low strike called on Aaron Judge, which he does very well. Behind the scenes, all right, is Aaron Boone a little different than what we see in the dugout? I don't know the answer to that. Do you?
I don't know 100% the answer to that. I do know that playing with Aaron, he carries himself with quite a professionalism and a calmness, which is really his personality. But there's a fire in there too, Brandon. And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, behind the scenes, he's not going to be one of those guys who's going to do it so everybody can see it. I'm sure he's sending a message to this team that it's time to get going. But you're right on the first point when you started this question. This is a different age. It's an age where managers are, you know, supposed to be very supportive of players, especially young players, and kind of, you know, get them going on their path to the big leagues. It's an entirely different message than when our generation made it up to the big leagues. So, Aaron's got a fire in him. I wouldn't be surprised if he's sending a message in that clubhouse.
Mm-hmm. John, you know, and you've heard the term, we've all heard it, you know, ace. And sometimes it's thrown around loosely. Sometimes the best pitcher on a staff is referred to as an ace because he's the ace of the staff, but maybe not a 1A ace around baseball. This is going to seem like a dumb question for somebody who leads baseball in strikeouts, and that's Gerrit Cole. But is he the absolute ace that the Yankees need him to be in October? Is he that guy still?
Well, I think what I go back to is when, you know, the 3 years I was lucky enough to be a backup player in the Yankees, when you rolled out your rotation, did you know what you were getting out of everybody when they took the mound? And, you know, obviously a guy like Pettit, a guy like Clemens, you felt really good about, Mike Mussina. You know, with a guy like Garrett, yeah, he's got the stuff and he's got the strikeouts and he's got the entire package. But we've seen the other side of it, too, where he has struggled and he hasn't lived up to the moment. So, you know, for me, it comes down to Gerrit Cole against Justin Verlander. You know, is he going to be able to negate Verlander? And that's going to be, at the end of the day, part of his Yankee legacy here, because when you're an ace on this team going down the stretch and into the postseason, you got to match the other number ones on the best teams in baseball. And he hasn't done it yet. The ability's there. The stuff is there. He's got to take that next step.
Cortez, the real deal? You know, as he goes around the league more and more and more, is he truly the real deal?
Yeah, you look at his numbers in the middle, and he took it on the chin a little bit. I thought opposing hitters, you know, did a great job hunting the cutter and the fastball in, especially the right-handed hitters, and Nestor did a nice job of backdooring the cutter on the outer half and getting them leaning back over the plate. And you look at his last 4, 5, 6 starts, and he's right back to where he started at the beginning of the year. So you can't say enough about attitude and body language and being fearless out on the mound. I mean, that's what Nestor does every time he takes the ball. I love the attitude that here it is. You're either going to get me or I'm going to get you, but it's not going to take an awful long time. And he's done that every start this year. It's a refreshing thing to watch.
John, I've had you for 20 minutes. Very generous with your time. I said, you know what, man? I need to stay to the Yankees. And I got to go to somebody who's going to be honest and not just going to say the company line. A guy that I used to rap with back in the day.
Yep.
Good to reconnect, dude. I want to get you back on at some point with Tiki, but Thanks a lot, John. I know the listeners enjoyed that, and good having you back on, buddy. Thank you.
No, it was nice to reconnect again. You know I'm a big fan of the show, so keep doing your thing, Brandon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.